let me go into some of the details. I hope to finish this lesson tonight that we started last night about summarizing right division. And as I go through, hopefully in an orderly way, we'll get to some of the questions. And then afterwards, yeah, okay. Delta, is that a hint that you're going to open Pure Grace Believers afterwards? Hope so. Well, either way, I'm gonna go ahead and get going. Use the time that we've got. God didn't. Let's just give the link. Oh, okay. God didn't offer salvation like Paul's and like is in Paul's epistles for us to believe today. He didn't offer that before he saved unforgivable Saul on the road to Damascus in Acts 9. The Bible calls it the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, the telling of what God had kept secret since the world began. In 1 Corinthians 2, verses 7 and 8, Paul is inspired to tell us why it was kept secret. And he writes in 1 Corinthians 2, starting in verse 7, "But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery," even the hidden wisdom. It had been hidden. It's not hidden anymore. He's speaking it. He's revealing it. He reveals it in his epistles. "Even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory." In Galatians chapter 1, verses 11 and 12, Paul certifies that it is a new gospel by which God saves to heaven. Saves the believers in Christ's new gospel. He says, "But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ." Christ revealed that secret to him. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 15 and 16, Christ's only apostle of the Gentiles, only one, Paul, shows that God started a brand new pattern of what he requires in order to save people. There's no works involved, no claims of being good enough, just believe on Christ to everlasting life, since Christ died for our sins. And let me just read those verses, starting in 1 Timothy 1:15. "This is a faithful saying, and it's worthy of all acceptation." In other words, everyone should accept it, "that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." And that word "chief" he uses in the next verse. Let me just go on. "Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtain mercy, that in me first," that's the same word as chief, "in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter," in other words after Paul, "believe on him to life everlasting." Yeah, I would say so. Just to answer the question in text, if someone says they're hearing God and answers from God, the only way God speaks is through his word today. He finalized it. All scripture is given, 2 Timothy 3:16, and Paul was the one that was assigned or charged with filling up the word of God in Colossians 1:25, I think it is. So let's go on. Paul went on to apply it to you and me when he said in that the part about him being the first in that pattern. In fact, let me read the verse again. Howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to a life everlasting. And then 1 Corinthians 11:1, Paul says, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. The way Paul came to Christ, we need to come to him as a sinner, not as a law keeper, not as somebody that behaves well, and we should behave well, yeah, but that's not anything to do with the basis anymore of getting saved. The basis for getting saved is coming as a sinner and relying on the grace of God to have paid for your sin, died for your sins. The new gospel pattern that God inspired in his Bible as his means of saving people today is written in 1 Corinthians 15:1-6. Verses 3 and 4 in that tell us what God requires us to believe. Verses 5 and 6 are the inspired scriptural record of eyewitnesses to Christ's resurrection, so we can believe that he rose. But crucially, verses 1 and 2 tell us that it's by receiving it to ourselves, those facts in verses 3 and 4, that Christ died for our sins. They were only revealed to Paul. It's by receiving those facts that we're saved. Okay, let me just read through them, starting with verse 1, First Corinthians 15:1-2. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, present tense, don't have to wait for it, like Israel did. You are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you. So be careful that you're believing the right gospel, is what he's saying, what Paul preached, what he's got is his doctrine of salvation, his gospel of salvation. And he's going to go into it in the next verse. Unless you have believed in vain, believe what Paul says saves us. In other words, it was revealed to him by Christ. So going on to 1 Corinthians 15:3-4, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. How do we know that? Well, there are eyewitnesses, verses 5 and 6, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. So if we go to Romans chapter 6, verse 14, Paul tells one of the effects that this new gospel in God's pattern, his new pattern of salvation, one of the things that it does, it keeps us from being under the dominion of sin. Romans 6:14, sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace. Not under the law. Israel was under the law. Matthew 23, the first three verses, tells you clearly. And even in Acts, in Acts 21, verse 20, those thousands of Jews, they were all zealous of the law. The Jews were, not the body of Christ people being saved by Paul's gospel. So as you can see from the gospel of our salvation in 1 Corinthians 15:1-6, we are saved by faith, and it's faith in receiving what God did for us in Christ on the cross, dying for all our sins. The receiving part means believing it to our own situation, our own need of a Savior, our own need to get out from under the condemnation that we're all born under. We receive God's gift of eternal life by faith, not by any of our own works, not by a prayer, It's by believing. It's a change in belief. You don't have to talk about it to God. You believe it, and His Spirit is right there to baptize the new believer into the body of Christ at the instant you're saved. There is no time when you don't have it, according to Romans 8, 9, when you don't have the Spirit of God if you're saved. In other words, He baptizes you into the body of Christ instantly. It's not by joining some organization or church or by social action. It's not by some religious ritual. Trusting is the only thing you can do without working at it, without doing anything. Trusting on all those other things means that we're not trusting Christ's death for our sins to have been sufficient to save us. We think we have to bolster it up with something or have insurance. Well, I'll get baptized just in case. You're not trusting that Christ died for your sins then. We must believe that His death for our sins was sufficient by itself to save us. And with all that stated and shown from God's Word, His inspired scriptures, we can see a distinct division between the way God dispensed His salvation through Israel by faith and works before Paul, and the way that He dispensed His salvation to all sinners after Paul through faith alone in Christ having died for our sins. Before Paul, Israel was to have faith that Jesus was the prophesied Messiah, bringing out of heaven Israel's kingdom to reign over the world from the land. That's before Paul. After Paul, the pattern of salvation was preached that any individual believing that Christ died for their sins was saved. As God had worked with Israel using physical blessings in the past, I will bless them that bless thee, God now works with the body of Christ using spiritual blessings, not physical blessings. The physical has to do with the earth, the land. Israel ruling on the land with Christ sitting on the throne. The body of Christ and the mystery of Christ has to do with us in the heavenlies, in Christ. The body of Christ being in the heavenlies. Our conversation is in heaven. Philippians 3:20, I believe it says. So, look at the difference. Look at Ephesians 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:7, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Israel walks by sight. They needed to see signs. Israel requires a sign. The Jew requires a sign. It says there in 1 Corinthians 1:22, I believe it is. So the clarity of those Bible facts and the difference between them, it's been muddied over the centuries by those who tried to accumulate into one teaching all the teachings of Christ both on earth and those later revealed from heaven to Paul. They tried to universalize it, to merge it, to what the word means, merging. The word Catholic is to Catholicize it, means to merge it together. And that's the opposite of what Paul says to do. Paul says to rightly divide those two doctrines, those two teachings of how to be saved, the gospel of our salvation. They also tried to accumulate into one teaching both groups of apostles, claiming that Paul was part of the 12. Both Israel's 12 apostles and the one apostle of the Gentiles, Paul, they tried to accumulate into one teaching. Both of the two Gospels, both the Gospel of the Kingdom and the Gospel of Christ crucified for our sins. And they also tried to accumulate into one teaching both of the two churches, both the church of God in Judea, the kingdom church, and the churches of the Gentiles that Paul had established with the new gospel. And then it was codified by Constantine in about 325 AD as the basis of his attempt to build his one world church in order to bring the whole world, the whole known world, under his dominion, the Emperor of Rome. So now it's very difficult to see through our preconceived ideas. I mean, everyone, we come up with these, you know, it was Rome that instituted a so-called day to have Christ's Mass for his birthday. It's difficult to see it the way it was in the book of Acts when all those actions were taking place. Part of that one world church has been protested against as parts have been changed in other groups. In other words, we're talking about denominations here. They change one or another teaching. They try to separate on the basis of how to baptize or you know, whether you have membership or don't have. All the, they have one thing they try to separate. They keep the same form, though. Come to church, sit there and listen, go home. Well, it's more than that. But it's a catching point. They're trying to, you know, they're still in the one world religion thing. We need to go back to the source. Obviously, there are so many different little religions. They all turn into religion. We need salvation, not religion. We must believe, read, study, and preach what God put in writing in His preserved, pure Bible. Not being intimidated by man's bluster about his own understanding or his own traditions or his own doctrines. Believe God, not man. Not any teacher. That's why we show so many verses, so you can believe the verses. With all this in mind, we can see that, social action is fine for individuals that have time for it after following God's will, but it's not part of God's will for the church as a Bible, you know. Well, the Bible, look at 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. We'll see what God's will is. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved. That's God's will. That's what came first. And then he says, and, so there's a second part, who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. So God's will for the church is salvation, and secondly, edification, not the other way around. There's only one thing to know about and to find out about and to transact, to believe if you're not saved, that is salvation. How to be saved? By simply stopping your attempts, lay back in God's grace and believe that He's going to save you by what He did in His Son on the cross, dying for your sins, dying your death for your sins, the death that was coming to you. The application of those two things is up to the individual, including social action, whether to or not to, you know, how to put that into action. Remember that the physical blessings for obedience are never promised to us believers in the body of Christ. Physical blessings were only promised to Israel in their rise, in fact. In their fall, once they fell, they had walked away from that promise, from that part of the covenant. When they come back, they will be blessed. But Matthew 25, verse 40. It shows how that fits into God's will. Let's read Matthew 25:40. And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren. So he's talking to Jews about helping Jews, and the context is after the church, the body of Christ, has been caught up to be with the Lord. This is at the end of the tribulation, or during the tribulation period. We won't be around for it. Okay, we'll already be with Paul and Christ in heaven, according to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. But in that verse, one of the least of these, my brethren, refers only to Jews that were in the fellow countrymen there of Jesus Christ as he was talking, but Israel had not fallen yet. They had not rejected their Messiah and blasphemed the Holy Ghost. So the kingdom was still ahead of them, you know, if they would have received their Messiah. So look also at Matthew 6, verse 10. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So that was what Israel was to pray for, the kingdom coming from heaven to earth. And it only has to do with the Lord's return to earth, bringing his kingdom with him, as he indicates in the parable of the nobleman. Look at Luke 19, verse 12. He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom. Now this is Jesus talking to the Jews, to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. So we see that we don't produce the kingdom. We in the body of Christ brings the kingdom out of heaven when he returns to earth after the catching up of the body of Christ. These things are often overlooked, these Bible facts. To find meaning and relevance in church, we need to find a church that preaches salvation by God's grace through faith without works, as in Ephesians 2, 8, 9, and 10. And one that preaches edification and does not get sidetracked with social action instead of edification, as if it was something to do with pleasing God or bringing Christ back with his kingdom. There will always be people in need. So, anyway, we need to find a church that rightly divides between Israel's doctrine in Genesis through Acts 8 and our body of Christ doctrine in Romans through Philemon. That's rightly dividing in one sense. 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I'm done, and ready for questions.